Ruth chapter number one. Ruth chapter number one. Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing thou art a great God, and besides thee there is none other. God, we sense the need of something being done in the service, God. God, I pray you'll give us wisdom to know your will, and Father, we'll follow your leadership and your guidance. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. God, I pray we've done nothing to grieve the Spirit of God tonight, to hinder the working of the Holy Ghost. Pray, God, that we came in with minds desirous of worshiping you, desiring to meet with you, desiring to see you, a hunger. Oh, Father, for the things of God. Just a little bit, God, we're going to leave this service and we're going to go out into a world that's going to try to change us, try to hinder us, try to influence us. God, we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need your help, God. We need your strength. We need your guidance. God, we know America needs you. God, we can talk all day about how the White House and how our politicians and how our government really needs a touch of God, really needs some people to stand up and have some common sense and do some things that are worthwhile and have a backbone. But God, we realize the church needs you too, God. We need the same thing, God. We need you to touch us. We need you to help us to stand up, speak out. Father, we need some men, some ladies to stand for truth and righteousness. Be a light and testimony to a lost and dying world. And I pray you'd help us. And I pray you'd help us not just to go through a routine and through a ritual, but God, truly have a desire to come in the house of God to worship. I pray you'd help me, Father. I pray you'd help each one this year tonight. God, we need you. Without you, we can't do nothing. We pray for your power to be upon this service. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. And we come to the book of Ruth. We've already said several things about it in passing. And this morning I kind of started and a sermon. And that's not usually like me to start one, just get one point and then move on to the night service. But that's just the way the Lord has to do this morning. And so as we look at the book of Ruth, we see in chapter number one, it's a chapter of weeping. A chapter where there's a lot of bad things that goes on. You know, it's bad for a famine to come into a land where people are hungry, starving, where people can't seem to hardly can survive. But can I tell you this? When we read in verse number 6, it said that the Bible says that the Lord, you know, that for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord has showed up. Amen? Yeah. Well, the Lord was there all the time. The Lord had visited his people and given them bread, verse number 6. Yeah. Now, when in just a minute we're going to talk about Naomi and her going back to that land. But when she went back, guess what? There was a group of people there at stake. And God sustained them. And God was able to make provisions for them. And so we need to realize that no matter how bad it gets, and no matter how much a famine comes in our land, whether it be spiritually or whether it be physically or what happens, we're not to give up on God. We don't give up on him. We just stay true to his word. We stay true to him. No matter how our life gets. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next. We don't know what will happen in the future. There's one thing we don't plan for. I guarantee you, Brother Mike didn't plan to have his shoulder surgery when he was 25 years old. He thought nothing about that. We don't plan for burdens. We don't plan for discouragement. We don't plan for things that happened that did not. Even we then never thought about them happening. We never planned for those things to come into our life. We come here to chapter number one. We see it is a chapter of weeping, a chapter of sadness. And it continues on even as now Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, as they get ready to return, they're fixing to head out. And we find an Orpha turns back. And she turns back to that, the Moab, her gods and her people. But we find that Ruth stays with Naomi. And as we come on down to verse number 16, Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. And boy, there's some great statements here. We'll just go ahead and read them. The Bible says, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And of course, and when she, talking about Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And in verse number 19, the Bible says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And the Bible goes on and says, and they came to the pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me back, brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty have afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So we see here the return of Ruth, if you will. I mean, the return of Naomi. And I'm preaching on the faith of Naomi had. The faith that she had. We see, first of all, she put faith in that which she had heard. Now, if you're here today and you've been saved by the grace of God, guess what? You had to put faith in what you heard. You had to put faith in the message that you heard. You heard the message about the Lord Jesus Christ, about what he had done for you and I. And we talked about that a little bit this morning. And we see that she had heard that message. She'd heard about the Lord, his person. She'd heard about his visit, his presence. She'd heard about his people and also giving them bread. She'd heard about the provisions of God, the testimony of the witness and servant, the testimony of that one, excuse me, the testimony of that witness and servant, that witness and stranger, if you will, that came and testified in Moab about what God had done in Bethlehem. And that's what we heard. We heard about what God had done for you and I at Calvary. Thank God for the gospel, the death and the burial, the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God that we was able. Amen. We was able to hear the message. It's sad tonight, many's not heard the message. One man put it this way, and how wisely it was. He said, it's shame for us to hear the message two and three times when others have never heard it once. That's why we need to have a burden for missions. A burden to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. A burden to try to get to be a light and a testimony where we're at. Do you realize there's people living around us that haven't heard really a clear presentation of the gospel? How many times have you heard some preacher get up and say they went to church? But when they was at a certain age, they heard a clear presentation of the gospel. They'd been to church, but finally, you know, as they got a little older and become a young adult, they heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I say this sadly and not condemning, but you can go to places around in our area, go to a religious service and not hear the gospel. Not hear a true, clear presentation of the gospel. I mean, they might talk about events and different things. I mean, you know, you can go to places of worship, houses of worship. Maybe not, hopefully not the same stripe that we are as far as Baptists, but you know, and they'll never even mention the name of Jesus. Some people have church tonight, and they won't even open up the Bible. I wouldn't go to a church like that very long, would you? I hope you wouldn't. But we realize here that we need to get the gospel out. We need to be a testimony to lost and dying world. So we see the testimony of a witnessing stranger. This is an unnamed stranger, the unnamed witness We don't know if it's a he or she, but somebody told the story how the Lord would visit back in Bethlehem. And I'm so glad God allowed us to hear the story how Jesus visited a place called Earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I come tonight to my second thought is the testimony of a wandering saint. The testimony of a wandering saint. Here we're going to see the faith of Naomi. She hears the message and now she decides to return back to Bethlehem. But boy, does she have a story to tell tonight. We're not going to hang from the chandeliers probably tonight. She's got a story to tell. The Bible says in verse 19, so they two went until they came into Bethlehem. I circled in my Bible. If you write in your Bibles, you might want to do it sometime. If you don't, that's fine. But I circled that word until. And you say, why? Because may I say the journey back to Bethlehem, I believe it seemed longer than the journey to Moab. They always are untils in our lives. There's some untils in your life. There's times where somewhere in your life, if you walk with the Lord very long, there's times that you've drifted away from God. There's an until, and until God did something, and his mercy and his grace and his kindness wooed you back to him, there's an until. And they begin to make that journey, the road back home. And can I say the road away from home was a whole lot easier than the road going back. We look. Hey, let's just look at it. Hey, the road leading away from home. When she left out, she had a man in her life. She had a husband, Elimelech. And he could carry some of the load. Hey, she had two sons. I don't know how old they was, but they was just gone 10 years. And in that 10-year span, they got married. And so we realized that they was probably, you know, rich young men and strapping young men. And I tell you what, whether they was as young as Cameron or whether they was as old as Nathan, I tell you what, either one of these can carry some load. They can help out in the move. Amen. And the road going away was a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier. May I say it's a whole lot easier to get away from God than it is to come back to God. Now, I'm going to preach tonight I don't know if the mood of the service is all here tonight. I love it when it all, but I'm going to preach no matter what. Amen. Because I believe God wants us to hear this message. I believe Satan don't want us to hear this message. And we realize that I'm not talking about you saying amen. I think there's spiritual warfare that goes on when a man of God's preaching. Amen. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on. And so, but I wonder tonight, as we look at this, the road that leads away from home as she's going to returning back, the testimony of a wandering saint, I mean one that has drifted, one that has went away from God. I mean her and Elimelech has went away from God. I mean she's lost her husband. You know, it looks like to me, Brother Steve, when she lost her husband, she's seen the need to go back home. Some commentaries were right because she did not decide to go back home at that time, but she may have played a great part in them leaving. Now, I'm going to make a comment here, and I'm not trying to make any female, anybody mad. Y'all are just so looking at me so sweet. But I'm making a biblical truth. When women leads, usually it leads to trouble. Can somebody go get me some water? I want to drown myself. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Not. We know that Eve took a step in leadership. Now, ladies, I am not. Y'all been here. I've been here for 15 years. I hope you don't think that I put ladies down. I don't think you'd ever say that I preach to put ladies down. That is not a slur on you ladies whatsoever. But God has an order. And men are to be the leaders of the home. And we find here that she leaves the house of bread. They leave the house of bread, the road. And Elimelech could have been totally all Elimelech's. Could have been. And I, And I believe it probably was, personally. But Elimelech, and they leave, and Naomi finds herself, and she's in this part of until God now has spoke to her heart. I mean, not only did her husband die, but now her two sons died. And for 10 long years and 3 graves to the history of her walk, she decides to return back to Bethlehem. Return back to the place of God. Do you realize what we're talking about here? We're not talking about just the geography. We're not just talking about, we're talking about Moab is a type of the world. And Bethlehem is a type of being in the will of God, being in the place God would have you to be, being in the house of God, being in the doing the work of God. It's a being right with God. It was God's promised land. It was a place where they were supposed to be. Can I tell you, it's important that you're doing what God would have you to do. It's important, Dad and Mom, to be in the place that God would have you to be. Hey, don't wander away from God. Don't wander away from God. The testimony of a wandering saint. The until that comes in all of our lives. There's none of us perfect. I know that. There's none that's perfect. We fail, and we get the cold sometimes, and we get carnal sometimes. Things come in our lives that shouldn't be there. And God has to work in our hearts, work in our lives. But don't wander away from the things of God. When the famine comes, don't wander. Well, here's a testimony of her wandering. There's an until. She's until they came to Bethlehem. There's a road that she had to take. There's a path that has to take. This path is probably anywhere it took them from 7 to 10 days. That don't seem like much, but can you imagine that economy? In the day when the judges ruled, in the day when wickedness was going on, that two ladies, widow ladies, was traveling. You know, you ladies, you don't like to travel by yourself even now. Most of you don't like to travel much by yourself. Sometimes Deborah goes to see her mom, or she's went down to see Aaron, and then when they was living in Florida. And we never, never like for that to take place. Why? It's just not safe for a woman to be alone. Amen? That's not a safe thing. I sometimes don't think it's safe for me to be alone. Amen? Yeah, that's why I try to keep somebody with me all the time. You know, I'm scared. I don't like somebody to be around. But this was a dangerous road back. I'm not trying to spiritualize everything, but can I tell you, spiritually speaking, when a person walks away from God, they backslide on God, they depart the things of God, out of the will of God, the house of God, the things of God, the blessings of God. It's a dangerous road back. Because Satan has so many traps. He has so many things that lures you away. So if he got you away and got you distant from the Lord, he's desiring to keep you away. I say this as kindly as I can and not trying to bring up. But we have people sitting in our midst that has loved ones that are away from the Lord. And their desire and their prayer, and I know there's prayers of dads and moms in this building. I know there's prayers of husbands praying for wives, different things. I know there's prayers for people praying for their dads and their moms and for their sisters and their brothers that they would come back to God. But it's a dangerous road coming back. There's a lot of things that can affect their life because the devil don't want them to get back. Amen. So there's some untils. And then there's another thing here. The Bible says in verse 19, look at the very last part of it. Is this Naomi? All the city was moved about them and said, is this Naomi? Now, they wasn't saying it like this. Oh, wow, is this Naomi? Woo, hallelujah, Naomi's back. No, if you look up, if you kind of look and see what that statement, all the city was moved. James Jones said that moved means there was a great commotion. Now, if I could put it like this, and I think we could understand this, she was the talk of the town. There's a great commotion came. The whole town began to talk about, hey, here's Naomi. Is this Naomi? Now, you just remember, she's just been gone 10 years. I've been here 15 years, not aged a bit. I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, she's just been gone 10 years. I don't think it'd be very hard to recognize who she is with just a 10-year period of aging. I will make a comment in a second more about that, but is this Naomi? Is this the one that was pleasant? Is this the one that left here with a smile and came back with a frown? Is this the one that went out with her husband and with her children and now she's came back with a Moabite? Can I do some preacher pastoring? Can I do some pastoring preaching? So we're going to have folks, and we've got some that's out there wondering saints. And we're praying that they come back. But so when they come back, they don't need to be the talk of the town. Y'all didn't get that. They don't need to be the slurs here. Is that now? I'm telling you, that's one thing that the devil's using against them. That's one reason they're not coming back. They don't need that judgmental look when they come. Where you been? How much of the hog pen you got on you? Hey, man. How much? What I wonder, what kind? And the talk. She became the talk of the town. We're having fun now. Amen. I don't know why the devil didn't want me to preach. Amen. Sometimes you just have to take the liberty a little bit, and I've took the liberty tonight. I believe God's speaking. I don't know how many are hearing, but I believe God's speaking. And I'm preaching slow. Y'all noticed that, didn't you? That preacher said today, he said, when the preacher gets up and preach an hour and a half, I got thinking, I don't think I've ever preached that long here. There's always a first time. But that, is this Naomi? I'm telling you, when they come back in, you know what they ought to find in the house of God when they come? I'm talking about if they've not even got right with God yet. Thank God they've entered back into the sanctuary. There ought to be love and compassion. There ought to be love and compassion and words of thankfulness. It's, oh, I'm so glad to see you. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. And then walk over and shake hands with your other brothers. Boy, I'm glad to see them back. They've been way out there, way out there. They've done a lot. Oh, you should hear what they've done. You don't think those things get around? Amen. You don't think people share things with other people and they share them with other people? And finally it gets shared with somebody that's kin to somebody. You better not share nothing with nobody. Everybody's kin in here. Almost everybody. Nobody's claimed kin to me and Deborah yet. We're the outcast. But anyway. But I think people start coming in and especially, you remember Brother AD and Sister Bina, when they come in, Brother AD, they're just trying to figure out. Brother Jack Stone, Jack Hall, and Brother Baldwin and them, you was kin to somebody. They had found out you was kin to somebody. Somebody get a witness now. They would figure it all out. Amen. It was wonderful. The people visit there. Okay, now your dad is who? Your mom is who? I mean, they was over here and they was over here. And I mean, do you know that's so and so's uncle and my uncle married? I'm telling you, that it was boom. Everybody's kidding something. So it's going to get back around. What would be better for us? To spend our time about those that are coming back, to spend our time in praying to God to touch their heart and to tender their soul and to help them to get right with God, than to be telling people and talking to others about what sins they've been involved in. And how far in sin they went. You realize Naomi went all the way down to Moab. Guess, let's look. Her sons married Moabites. Now, I'm telling you what, this wasn't a good thing in that economy. It was wrong. It wasn't a good thing. I mean, You didn't get on the high society list by doing this. Amen. And so that was a great commotion. I didn't know I was going to be right here, but I'm going to stay here. Amen. I'm telling you, I got a lot to preach tonight. I might get that hour and a half. But I'm not, Lord willing, I won't do that without He wants me to. But it's Naomi. And then look at verse number 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. You know what Mara means? Bitterness. She's talking about her bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Can I tell you, here's a testimony of a wandering saint. She said, verse 21, I went out full. And I came back empty. What about Naomi? What do you mean you went out full? You left because of the famine. There wasn't no food. There wasn't the blessings of God here. You left out. You had things when you left. But you left because you didn't have things. They left because they seek something that was better. Something that maybe would help them. Right? Well, they went to Moab not to go down there because there was a famine down there too. They left because evidently things seemed to be better down there. And is that not what the devil pictures? Hey, he'll picture you young people. Hey, it's better out there. It's better living in the world. It's better just having a, you know, you can have your little religion, but hey, you need to live out there in the world. You need to enjoy the trinkets of this world, the things of this world. You need to enjoy. And for long, you've been drawn away by the lie of Satan. And you know what Satan is? Satan is a good liar. You know, he is. He kind of tells what we call white lies. There's truth to his lies. He said, boy, there's a lot of pleasure in drinking. There's a lot of pleasure in... And guess what? The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for what? A season. There's pleasure in sin for a season. So there's a half-truth to that. There's a half-truth to some of those things that we're talking about. And it may seem glamorous and it may seem attractive on the outside. But see, you got to realize the path, the decision you make, the choices you make has a destination.
Yeah.
See, it's where drugs take you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's what alcohol finally brings into your life. It's what living this worldly, dirty lifestyle wanted to finally bring into your life. What will finally be the results of your decisions, your choices? See, what you never think you will be is an alcoholic. What you never think you will be a druggie, addicted to drugs. So you never would think, boy, if we could just let brother, our police officer, brother Derek, talk for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And the stories he could tell, what people has done because they've addicted to drugs. So there's people sitting in jail because they killed their own mamas.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Because they killed their own daddies.
Yeah.
Because they've killed their own grandparents. Just to get a little bit more money, just to buy some more drugs.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, the first time they took drugs, they never dreamed they'd be down that road. I've never had drugs. I've never been high. I've never been any of that. I know nothing about any of that. I know some here sit here it does. I don't know what the feel is. I don't know how high. But I do know this, people gets addicted to it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And they live for it. And they'll kill for it. Mm-hmm. And they'll steal for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's not shown in the picture. So when Elimelech and them left, the Bible says they left to sojourn, just to go for a very short period of time. But they ended up there 10 years. I have that statement. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. How true that statement is. Is this Naomi? She said, call me Myra, because the Lord has dealt with me bitterly. I'll tell you, sin will affect your looks. Evidently, they had a problem seeing who this lady, noticing who this lady was. Kind of. Have you ever seen them when they put them on the TV before and after? Those that's hooked on meth don't hardly look like the same person. Age so bad. I tell you what, sin will age you. Sin will scar you. Sin will mar you. Sin will bind you. Sin will break you. This is a testimony of a wandering saint now. She's given a she's testifying of how she got back to God. What's happened in her life? She's returning. Naomi's returned to Bethlehem. We get away from God, we seldom return back to God the same way. Verse number 21. I went out full, and the Lord brought me in what? Brought me home again empty. We didn't come back. I left out different. I left out and I came back different. You notice this is what she said. Didn't call you me Naomi. Why didn't call you Naomi? Seeing the Lord has testified against me. Here's her brokenness. He's testified against me. How's the Lord testify against me? Well, y'all remember Naomi's coming and she has somebody with her. Can somebody tell me who's with her? Ruth. Ruth is what? A Moabite. She's bringing a testimony with her. Every step she makes, Ruth's taking it with her. There's a testimony. There's a testimony that she's went back to that. So there wouldn't be no Ruth. Now I won't say this again that I said. I won't say again tonight that I said this morning. I'll make this very clear. God does not have to have us to do wrong to make something right out of it.
Amen.
I know God takes our wrongs and makes right. Thank God for that. And we see a great picture here in a minute. We might see a great picture. I don't know if the Lord will be preaching on. But if God wanted to get Ruth to Moab, He could have done it another way.
Yeah.
We don't have to go out and sin to cause God to do something great in the midst of our terribleness. Dr. Siler said God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line.
Yeah.
How true that is. But you know what God wants to use? A straight stick. Well, I never said that. I'm going to add that to it. Hey, am I not in the Word of God? But Steve, God wants us to be clean vessels. Brother Mike, Brother Anthony, God wants us to be clean vessels. God wants us to be vessels worthy of honor. Thank God, even when we mire the vessel, He makes it again. Amen. And He still uses us. Amen. But He wants us to be right with Him. But there's a testimony following her. Her name's Ruth. Can I say if you go away from God, go out in this world and leave the things of God and the will of God, and you know what's going to happen? There'll be a testimony to follow you. It's going to be a testimony. And then she says, I've been afflicted. Read on down in the verse. That afflicted is talking about mentally. Can you think of the mental things that she had three graves of three people that was dearest to her that could ever be dear. Two sons and a husband that no doubt she loved with all her heart. She never could go visit their grave sites anymore. I believe, what about the mental anguish of thinking, I wonder what would have happened if we just stayed home. I wonder what would happen if we'd just been faithful to God. Again, I say this kindly tonight, not bringing any condemnation upon anyone, but there could be someone sitting in their building and thinking about those days that you walked away from God and you wonder, well, would life be different now? I'm going to tell you something personally that I don't say very much about. But when I came back, my dad moved to North Carolina. I was a senior in high school. And my senior year, I walked away from God. And I didn't get way out deep in sin. I never did drugs, and I never got drunk. And none of that. I tasted a little moonshine one time, and I tasted a beer. Beer tasted awful to me. Thank God it did. Amen. Thank God it did. Awful tasting thing, about as bad as coffee. Y'all welcome. I'm not against any of y'all drinking coffee. I don't think that's a sin at all. So. But anyway, I just don't like it. But I really, this is what I believe. I believe if I'd have started preaching at 12 when God called me to preach, and I'd have stayed faithful to God, young men, like you men are, then I'd have more power with God now. And I'd have a greater testimony. My son's not here, and I'd rather you not tell this to my son. But Aaron seems to have a favor with people. God seems to give him favor with whatever he does. I believe one reason is because he's been faithful to God. He ain't perfect, but he's been faithful to God. He was like Deborah. Deborah's got saved and she's just stayed faithful to God. She never had that time of drifting away. I believe that there will be greater things in my life if I haven't drifted away. I don't know. But it's up there. The mental strain. And I can't imagine those that dove deep into sin. Came back. I mean, I want to preach on it, but Lord, I mean, the next point is, thank God, the testimony of a wonderful Savior.
Yeah, right.
Hey. Amen. Right now, this is the testimony of a wandering saint. Afflicted. The guilt, the things that God forgave, probably a lot of people forgave, but you can't forgive yourself. And it's almost like Satan brings those skeletons out of the closet. And I mean, when we really want to do something for God, now here comes that skeleton. If we don't watch it, we'll let it hinder us from doing what we need to be doing with God. I'm glad God forgave us. I'm glad God's put that behind. I'm glad God's washed our sins away.
Amen.
Testimony of a wandering saint. Proverbs said in Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. And one preacher said, you better ponder before you wander. I'm going to go ahead and finish this if y'all let me. Verse number 21. I went out full. And know this statement. And the Lord had brought me home. Can I tell you the only way that Naomi, the only way if you're here tonight and you're all away from God, you're going to get back? It's going to be because of the very grace of God. Amen. The testimony of the working Savior. It was God that brought her back. It was God that had her to come back. She returned. She returned only because of the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. She heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. Amen. And she had faith to believe in God. And she was willing to return. And she was willing to go through the scorn and go through the mockery and to make the trip and go through the Jordan River and cross on it, the steep pains that had the things that they had to go through to get back to Bethlehem. She was willing to make the 7-day or 10-day trip. 30 miles, or some says 30 to 60 miles, so wherever she might have been in there, she was willing to make that trip, just her and Ruth, to get back. But again, I tell you, it was all because of the very mercy and grace of God that she was able to do it. If you've ever went away from God and came back, you better thank God God allowed you to come back. You better thank God for His mercy and His grace. Amen. And then notice the time that she came back, verse 22. She came back in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now see, they didn't have food stamps. They didn't have welfare. Amen. I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying they didn't have that. She was a widow, and she had to depend on somebody being merciful to her, somebody being kind to her. And you go to chapter 2, and you find that Ruth went out into the field to try to find somebody to let her just glean in the field. Hey, and Naomi evidently was not able to go out. Ruth went out. And they told him that day when they harvest the fields, they left the corners for the widows and the fathers. They left the corners for those that come along and pick. And I will say this. It wasn't free. They had to work for it. It was available. Provisions. They had to work for them. They had to be enough strength, enough ability. The Bible don't tell us that Naomi was able to, or when she did. For some reason, she didn't go. But Ruth was able to. And it's that's the time of the barley. I'm telling you, God's timing is always right. Amen. God's timing is always right. Came back right in the time where she'd be able to sustain herself, be able to get started. And then let's go to Ruth chapter 2 and verses 19. The Bible says this. Now what has happened now? Naomi has came back. Ruth is with her. Ruth goes out to glean in the field. She gleans in a field. Look at verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her. Now she goes and gleans and she goes and beats it out in verse 18. And she took it and went into the city and her mother-in-law and saw what she had gleaned, verse 18, and she brought forth and gave it her that she reserved after she was sufficed. She ate first, and she gave it to her, verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, woo! Where has thy gleaned today? Because I'm telling you what now, it wasn't just like she's picking stuff from this to corners. When she come back, she had a lot more than what them other girls had. You say, why? Hey, if you're reading now, we didn't read it, but you're reading now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What was it? Handfuls on what? Purpose. Hey, but you know your Bible. Handfuls on purpose. I'm telling you what, she was going to, as a matter of fact, she could get in ahead of the gleaners. Yeah. They wouldn't have rebuked her. Hallelujah. It's supposed to be getting good right here, y'all. And so, you know, I'm telling you, and so, Hey, I'm talking about the testimony of a wonderful Savior. He brings them back right at the right time, right at the right place, and it's by happen. Oh, I'm telling you, by the providential hand of God, she lights on a field. I mean, grace. She was floating on wings of grace. And He just picks her up and puts her right down out to the field of Boaz and just placed her right in that field. Now notice what Naomi says. Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Oh, aren't you glad? We got a God in heaven that takes knowledge of us. Oh, thank God we got a God. I'm talking about the testimony of a wonderful Savior that would allow Naomi to return. And now that baggage that she brought back, that testimony that she brought back that was a reproach upon her, God, our wonderful Savior, is going to take her. Now he's using her. Ought to be a blessing to Naomi. I'm just telling you, God can do wonderful things in our life if we just let God take over. But you know what Naomi had to do? Her faith in Naomi, that's what we're preaching about. She had to believe God could return her back to her home and sustain her when she got there. No doubt she wanted to find her. Matter of fact, she says, she goes on to say that, hey, let me read on. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today, let me see what it was. Boy, he was real kind to me. He talked to me personally. His name was Boaz. Can you imagine what Naomi thought? Oh, my. Can you tell me that name one more time, please? You talking about Boaz? I can just see Brother A.D.'s ears popping up. Boaz, amen. I know, I can see she's me. Oh, you know, that's our near kinsman. Oh, what a wonderful God. God was so working our lives, even after we've trampled his name, even after we failed to have faith and we failed to stay where we should stay. There's a wonderful testimony of a mighty, wonderful God that's working on our behalf. Oh, thank God for this testimony. Look what it says in verse 20. And Naomi said unto her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who have not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Won't you glad God provides for you and I to thank God for his kindness? He's tenderhearted and kind to you and I. I'm not going to preach all this, but let me just keep on going. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. What a God. What a Savior. What a Lord. That he would begin to make provisions and ways for that one that have came back. We see the cause of return. And it caused her to rest in the promises of God. If she would be in the place of God, what did God say to Helen? Hey, if you'll come and if you'll live in this land, you'll obey me, and if you'll serve me, and if you'll love me, what will I do? Hey, I'll provide for you. That's what he promised. And then we see caused her to have a reward, Naomi's faith. Verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maiden of Boaz, and gleaned until the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Of course, you know the rest of the story. Chapter number 3, I will not go into it. Chapter number 3, Boaz and Ruth, they fell in love.
Yeah.
Chapter number 4, there's a wedding taking place. Verse number 13 of chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, I don't think they ever called her Meyer. That's behind us now. Aren't you glad that God puts those things behind us? God forgets and God forgives, and we can go on with God. I'm talking about the testimony of a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
And look what it says there. And so they bear the son, and the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Amen. And a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And here's a text. You'll have to figure it out for yourself. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And then if you just want to read that life that somebody begot the generations here, look at the very last verse. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. You know who Obed is? Look at verse number 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. They named it. Now, I don't know about this. Why don't we let neighbors name our kids? And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We know as we go on down, we finally find that the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
All the testimony of a wonderful Savior. The testimony of a wonderful Savior. What Jesus can do for you and I. Can I tell you, God can do mighty things for you if you don't go away from Bethlehem, Judah. If you have went away, there's still hope. Come back to Jesus, God, to do great things for you and with you if you return back to Him. Let's stand, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, David. Blessings, you have blessed us with, Lord. I thank you done for us and everything you do for us. Lord, Lord, just touch us and help us, Lord, and use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. And Lord, do it exceedingly abundantly. But all the ways we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the services, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the messages, Lord, has been brought to us today. Lord, Lord, just touch and help. We know we got needs in our lives, Lord, and people in our lives, Lord, that we would like to see get closer and come back to you. And Lord, some need to get saved. Lord, Lord, just touch them. Give them the Lord, let them see the desire, Lord, to get saved, for it's everlasting too late, and see the need to come back to you, to draw closer to you, Lord. Just help us to be a light and a witness that you want us to be, Lord, for you. Just touch us and help us and use us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.